like a neon sign, a neon voice from the clouds, a giant billboard that says go here. I know as a mom, a teacher, a coach, there are days when the noise levels of life are so overwhelming that I actually pray, Lord, I don't need subtle. I need fireworks, I need a marching band, a banner playing in the sky. But scripture tells us something different about the way God speaks. He doesn't usually shout, he usually whispers. And there's an amazing example in 1 Kings 19 when God whispers to Elijah. But if we're gonna truly understand and appreciate the whispers in 1 Kings 19, we need to understand the chaos that came before it in 1 Kings 18. Elijah wasn't just a prophet, he was literally a spiritual giant. In 1 Kings 18, God sends Elijah to meet King Ahab and end the three-year drought. Elijah challenges Ahab and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel to prove who the true God is. Baal's prophets called out all day with no answer. But when Elijah prays, God sends fire from heaven and the people declare the Lord is God. Afterward, Elijah prays for rain and a storm finally comes and the drought ends. Israel's hearts were turning back to God, but Israel's leaders, they weren't turning anywhere. Ahab was king. He was weak-willed, spiritually compromised, morally spineless, and he was married to Jezebel, who was a devoted Baal worshiper, a violent, manipulative, demon-worshipping queen who had been slaughtering God's prophets. When Elijah defeated her prophets in 1 Kings 18, she didn't repent, she retaliated. She sent a message that we see in 1 Kings 19 too, that says, by this time tomorrow, you'll be dead. And this is where God's message begins this morning. The great prophet Elijah runs. We see this in 1 Kings 19:3, which says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Elijah goes from the height of spiritual victory to the depth of emotional collapse in a single chapter. In a single chapter. Yesterday he was fearless, today he's terrified. And isn't that just like us? Aren't we one moment very confident in God, and the next thing we know, we're spiraling the drain? I want to share 8 lessons with you this morning, or principles, that we can take away from the story of Elijah. And principle number 1 is, fear pushes us to fight, flight, or faith. Fear is not sin, it's human nature. When fear hits, we naturally respond in one of the 3 ways. We fight, trying to control everything ourselves. We flee, running from what feels overwhelming, or we choose faith, turning to God even when the path is unclear. Elijah, bold and fearless, the chapter before, chooses flight, and God didn't reject him. Instead, God met him in his fear, ministered to him, and gently led him forward. Fear can be a crossroads, one that challenges us to move from instinct to trust and faith. So let's continue our journey through God's word. 1 Kings 19:4 says, he sat under a broom bush and prayed, I have had enough, Lord, take my life. This is Elijah, the fire caller, the rain stopper, the miracle worker, and now he's done. He's empty. He can't see a way forward. And here's the truth, principle 2. Even the strongest believers experience discouragement. Depression does not mean failure. Exhaustion does not mean faithlessness. If Elijah can break down, so can we. Even Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in history, battled seasons so dark that he called them the black dog. And you are not less spiritual because you get discouraged. You're simply a human. 1 Kings 19:5 through 7 says this. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for your journey is too much for you. Notice what God does not say here. He doesn't say, come on, Elijah, get it together. He doesn't say, where's your faith, Elijah? He doesn't say, do more, try harder. God gives him two things, food and sleep. That's it. No sermon, no scolding, just compassion. Principle three, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. God made your body. God understands your limits. God knows exhaustion distorts everything. Before God ministers to Elijah's soul, he ministers to Elijah's physical needs. Some of us don't need more productivity. We need more rest, right? We need time set aside to just be still and rest. 1 Kings 19 goes on in verse 10, and it says, I am the only one left. That's what Elijah says. I'm the only one left. He is convinced at this moment that he is completely alone. Isolation has exaggerated his reality. Fatigue has magnified the negativity. He believes the worst case scenario is happening. But God later reveals that 7,000 believers have remained faithful and that Elijah is not alone. So principle four, your feelings are real, but they're not always true. Yikes. Emotions are powerful, but they are not perfect. Sometimes your heart tells you stories that God never wrote. Next scripture is 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12, and it reads, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. God could have spoken through the wind. He didn't. He could have spoken through the earthquake. He chose not to. He could have spoken through the fire, but he held back. God waited until Elijah was quiet, still, listening, and then he would whisper. Principle number five says, God whispers because he is close. You whisper to someone who is standing right next to you. You do not whisper to somebody who is standing across the room. God is not far away. He's not hiding. He's not distant. He is right here with you. His whisper is an invitation to slow down, to lean in, to listen. In 2018, Josh and I lived on a 10-acre farm in Northern Virginia, and some of my childhood friends from Cordova came down to visit. They talked about Cordova the entire week they were there, and they reminded me how beautiful and how peaceful it was here, which is drastically different than Northern Virginia if you've been there, and how different Cordova had changed now that we were adults. So my husband jokingly said, I'll move if you do all the work. You have to sell the farm, you have to sell the animals, you have to do everything. I'll pack my bag, but you do everything else. This was the answer I had been waiting for 18 years. But fear set in. I was terrified. I had doubts. Would I be able to accomplish this task? But the doubts and the fear were so short-lived because literally the next day we went to church and a friend walked up to me and these were her words, and I quote, if you ever want to sell your farm, let me know. We're looking for one. It felt like God was waving one of those giant inflatable tube men, arms flailing, head wobbling, just to get my attention. And 6 weeks later, we were coming across Prince William Sound on the ferry. God spoke loudly. God yelled, this is what I want you to do. But other times, most times in my life, he's whispered. He whispered and he nudged me towards becoming a teacher for 25 years. I asked him for neon signs. He offered gentle nudges. And finally, after enough whispers, I obeyed and I became a teacher. And I found the true calling of my life. We're going to continue in 1 Kings 19 and verse 18, and it says, I have reserved 7,000. Again, that's those 7,000 that we talked about just a few scriptures before. Elijah believed that he was alone, but he wasn't. God had people Elijah didn't know about, resources he couldn't see, and plans Elijah could not imagine. And that brings us to principle six, which is God always preserves a remnant. The darkness never wins. God always has people. You are never the only one. There are believers you haven't met yet who will strengthen you. There is community you haven't discovered yet that will support you. And if you feel alone, look around right now. You are sitting in a room full of fellow believers. The next scripture is 1 Kings 19:19, and it says, "So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him." So Elijah's not done. God gives him assignments. Anoint kings, call a successor, mentor the next prophet, right? So principle seven, or lesson seven, God calls the active, not the idle. Notice Elisha was not just chilling, hanging out at a local coffee shop. He was working, he was plowing dirt, and that's where God finds him. God often speaks while you're faithfully doing the ordinary. Washing the dishes, doing the laundry, those mundane everyday tasks, those are the times you use to be still and to listen for God's voice. And at the end of 1 Kings 19, it's verse 19 through 21, Elisha leaves the oxen, breaks his plows, cooks the oxen, and feeds people. This is symbolic, right? There's no going back. He has gotten rid of all of his things. He no longer has the oxen or the plows. He can't return. He gave up everything to serve people and to go with Elijah. So principle eight. In God's kingdom, you learn to lead by learning to serve. Elisha will one day do miracles Elijah never did. But first, he serves as Elijah's assistant for years. Greatness in Scripture always begins with humility, always. Some of you feel like Elijah right now, afraid, exhausted, confused, discouraged, alone, unsure of what comes next. You're waiting for God in the wind, the earthquake, the fire. But he may be speaking in a whisper of comfort, you're not alone, a whisper of strength, rest, I will sustain you, a whisper of truth, your feelings are not the final word, a whisper of purpose, I am not finished with you yet. This week, I challenge you to reflect on these questions. Where do you need to stop running and start listening? Where has God been whispering in your life? What step is he inviting you to take? Elijah heard God, not in the noise, but in the quiet. And the same God who whispers to Elijah still whispers today. Will we be quiet enough to hear him? That's the question. Will you be quiet enough to hear him? I'm going to ask Shannon to come up, and as she comes up, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for this time we have shared today. We thank you for reminding us that you are a God who whispers, not because you are distant, but because you are close. Lord, we ask that you whisper words of encouragement to those who feel discouraged, whisper peace to those who feel overwhelmed by anxiety. Whisper strength to those who are weary. Whisper hope to those standing in the middle of hard places. And whisper direction to those who are confused and longing to hear your voice. Father, draw near to every person here. Silence the noise that drowns out your voice. The noise of fear, of worry, of busyness, of doubt. Let your whisper become the loudest truth in our lives. We trust that you will speak